We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled at to be with you. This Saturday and every Saturday seems like about the same time. Here with my co-host, weighing in at 185 pounds in the white trunks with a red trim, is Mark Tobin, 54-0. I should mention his record. Are you 54-0 or 56-0?
It's up to 56.
56-0. Oh, Tobin. I worry about you, Tobin.
Why?
I don't know. I just do. You know, I just things come through my brain. I wonder how Mark's doing today.
Well, yeah. I'm glad to hear that things come through your brain.
Oh, yeah. It don't happen very often. You know, I went through the 60s, man.
I know. That explains a lot.
I'm lucky to show up here with my clothes on. I am wearing Speedos this morning, in case you want to hear.
That's curious. A little too much info.
Too much info on a talk radio show?
Yep. It is? At least it is talk radio.
Yeah.
And it's maybe a little bit too early for people to be eating breakfast, so you don't need to worry about ruining their appetite.
Huh. Yeah, this is true. But, you know, I'm kind of buffed, you know. I mean, so maybe they'll, I don't know. Yeah. What the hey? Hey, fishing, did you go last weekend?
I did. It was spectacular and just had that feel. You kind of knew it was going to be good. You know, it was in the 70s last weekend.
Yes.
72 down there at the Lake of the Ozarks, mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday and Monday. Monday was in the 70s before the wind kicked up and the front came in, but oh my gosh, the fishing was just sick. It was so good. The water was still 52 degrees down
wow.
there. I can't believe that it was that warm still in December. I mean, there's years that it's down into the low 40s that time of year. But so the fish hadn't moved out. They were still right up against the bank. And I'm telling you, the crappie were going out of their minds, the white bass, the hybrids. We caught so many.
Hmm.
And we were just initially just trying for hybrids and whites. And lay down, any stick in the water, and it just could be just one little stick, any kind of wood that was off the bank, you flip up around that. If you didn't get a white bass, you get a crappie.
Oh, no.
And even in between the brush, that's where we usually catch the white bass.
Oh, fluffy. Oh, no.
But we catch crappie around nothing. I mean, just casting the banks, they just around those little chunky rocks, but it was unbelievable. And
any two-pound crappie?
No. But I did have one that was a pound and a half, a little over a pound and a half. But I caught it on a bobber, and I had the bobber set, the lure set a foot deep.
Wow.
I caught several just flipping around brush that it was visible on the shore. It was just like the spawning, you know, the spawning season, up real shallow back in the backs of these coves. And I don't know that they're going to be gone. They still might be there even this week, maybe up into next week, because that water is still in the mid-40s. It didn't cool off that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll stay up there until that water gets down in the low 40s, and especially up in the upper 30s. Then they vamoose. Then they'll get back out to that creek channel.
Where are they going to go?
They'll just go out to the creek channel in the river. They'll go out to the creek channel first, and they'll migrate toward the deeper water out at the river channel. And that's something that we used to do back in the old days on the Kansas Lakes. And I've kind of gotten away from fishing the Kansas Lakes just because I have a house down at Lake of the Ozarks. But, you know, 20, 25 years ago, we would wait. It was usually around Thanksgiving, a week either side of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But the water would have to get down into the lower 50s, upper 40s. And those fish would start to move out to the river channel on the main lakes. And it didn't matter what Kansas lake we fished. I mean, we did it on Hillsdale, Clinton, Melvern, Milford. But you just find the, you know, go out on the river channel on the main lake and just start using your electronics. And you'd look for groups of shad, big balls of shad. And once you found the shad, you just fish right underneath them, whatever depth they were. And those crappie would be suspended right underneath them. And that's how we do it. But so that's what they'll do. They will eventually start moving out that direction. But, you know, right now, Truman and Lake of the Ozarks, still a lot of crappie being caught. And I was talking to Richard Bowling, our guide on Truman, mm-hmm. yesterday. Called him at 9 o'clock in the morning because I didn't think that he'd be out that early because, you know, low got down in the teens.
Sure.
Well, he already had a dozen catfish in the boat, a dozen blue cat.
Wow.
By 9. He got out at the crack of dawn, even though it was that cold, water freezing in the bottom of the boat. But the bite on the blue cats is absolutely insane right now.
Wow.
And, I mean, lots of them. And what happens when this water starts to cool down like it has, catfish just go on a feeding terror. He had one. I talked to him yesterday morning, then I called him yesterday evening to see how the day wound up. He had one fish that was about 3 pounds, had 14 shad in its belly. And that's not a huge fish, but it was just packed full and eaten more.
Wow.
But once that water gets down into the lower 40s, upper 30s, then some of those shad will start dying off. And as good as it is now, it gets even better then. So the catfishing is off the charts. And by the way, speaking of catfish, do you know he's using shad right now? But other than shad, do you know the best way to catch a catfish?
With a hook.
You have somebody throw it to you.
Yeah, I see. Oh, man. Da-da-da-da. Too early.
But other than that, but the crappie are still in the backs of the creeks, and they're still catching them relatively shallow, 6 to 8 feet deep. Now, he's spider rigging, and you know my thoughts on spider rigging.
I'd rather have a sharp stick and eye and spider rig. It's still not much of a challenge on that thing. Oh, there's a fish, reel him in. There's a fish, reel him in.
But still a lot being caught, and it should just stay good. I mean, if you don't have the time to go hunting, place to go hunting.
We have a new producer today.
We do.
And Rudy, we run him off finally.
Yeah,
he got tired of being abused.
He had to.
He got tired, and we replaced him with bigger and better.
Welcome.
I'm sorry to do this to you.
Morning, fellas.
Good morning. You had a late night last night, huh?
Well, I just was here until about 10, and then by the time you get home and kind of unwind, it just makes for an early morning.
Nothing fun.
Well, I'm sorry you had to do this, but that's the way life is. Life cannot be fair sometimes. They tell me. I don't know. I just read that in a book one time.
I'm with you. No, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, what the hey. But we did have a nice visit about KU basketball.
We did. I thought you were trying to get my goat. I apologize if I came off as abrasive.
No, I mean that with sincerity. If this isn't the national championship team that I've ever seen.
Although they had a little setback Wednesday.
They're going to have those. I mean, that's okay. But they
good learning experience.
They are a tremendous all the way around. They could be, I think, the best team that they've ever had over there. And everybody looks at me and goes, yeah. But my opinion.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not wrong.
And also, I'd like to, while we're talking a little bit of sports here, the Chiefs are back against the wall, boys. Never
Absolutely.
Fight somebody with their back against the wall. You can fight somebody that's mad. Never fight anybody that's scared.
Well, I hope they are.
And this is it.
We need something to change.
Right. There's a team there. You know, we worked on New England.
Yep.
I mean, they were 5-0. It's there. And they'll be fine.
And what looks to be the best team in football, Philadelphia, we handled them.
We worked on them. And it's there. The nucleus is there. The team's there. You know, it's going to be okay. You know, everybody's panicking and throwing up their arms in disgust.
It's been a little disgusting the last few weeks.
Yeah, it has. But what the hey? You know, we go back to this fishing a little bit. Was it crowded? You see anybody else out fishing? You're probably the only human on the lake.
No, and normally that's the case this time of year. But it was so nice, and I think everybody had heard the forecast. You know, it was in the 70s over the past weekend, and then everybody knew that the weather was going to drop down into the teens as it did. Now, it was like there was several people out there getting their last hurrah in there.
Really?
I mean, there wasn't a lot. I mean, I maybe saw 5 or 6 boats.
Yeah,
the whole weekend, but you know, for that time of year, and that's a little spooky. You know, you really hope your boat's running good, because if you break down this time of year, you're just kind of stuck out there.
Yeah.
And it kind of changes the way I fish a little bit. I don't go near as far away from the house as I do normally.
Mm-hmm.
But all the more reason if you have a boat, take it to Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine get it worked on, and make sure to keep your fuel treatments in there. Because that is a big problem, and it stems from the ethanol that is in our fuel now. And gas stations don't have to advertise that they have ethanol in their fuel, and ethanol draws a lot of moisture into it, and that's what's causing the problem. Mm-hmm. So Seafoam or Stabil, keep that in your gas. You're talking to Joe Falco out there at Sportsman's. He said that's the number one problem that they have. That is most of the service work that they do is fuel-related problems. But they're also winterizing boats now, too. He's got a lot of people that have put in their boats up for the winter.
Now, you also you talked about the crappie and some white bass.
Yeah.
What about my hybrids?
And hybrids, too,
did you catch any at all?
Yeah, we had, oh, my gosh, I probably had 15, maybe. But the biggest one, I didn't catch as many big ones as I have been, But biggest one I had was 7.5 pounds.
Oh, that'll work.
We had one on, though.
Maybe it got away.
Yeah, it did. And it, I mean, it hit within a foot of the bank. And it took off. It took off right to the middle of the cove. And it came screaming back. And, I mean, you could barely keep up with it. It's going so fast. And then it went back down the bank away from us. And then it came back toward me. But the thing was, now, I probably had this thing on for about 5 minutes. And never once even saw a swirl. And most, even that 7-pounder that I had, I mean, pretty right off the bat, it came up close enough to the top that it would make a swirl. You know, you wouldn't see the fish, but you'd see a little bit of a swirl. This didn't do that at all. It was down there deep enough that you never saw nothing, and it just got wrapped around a stick and wound up getting off. But it had to have been a toad. I mean, if that 7-pounder, and I had an 8-pounder the week before that did the same thing. I saw a swirl, several swirls pretty quick. Still fought great, but and took a while to get it. But this one didn't even get that close. So I'm thinking it was better than a 10-pound fish.
Couldn't have possibly been a blue cat laying up in there.
No, it was just too fast. You know a hybrid right off because they streak like a got shot out of a cannon. Yeah. They're just so strong. And so now a blue cat fights good, but they're not quite that fast. And they'll bulldog, but they don't take off and swim as fast as those hybrids do.
So your crystal ball says it was a hybrid.
Oh, there was no doubt from the time it hit it and where it hit it. Unusual to get a blue cat in a foot of water.
The quality of these crappie, are they firm? Are they so mushy or what?
No,
that?
The water's cooled off enough. Yeah, they're firmed up.
They're firmed up.
You talk about some good eating. I'm telling you what.
I'll bet.
There is just nothing better.
And the coloration of these fish?
Some of them were beautiful. They'd been up there in that shallow water. Some of them were a little pale, like they'd been in deep water and just came out. But we're fishing kind of murkier water, so.
Could have been the other way.
Yeah. So they don't.
And what's that tell you? I mean, when you go fishing and you catch these real, and some of those crappie are kind of pretty, you know. I mean, they got that
beautiful colors.
Purple and blue, and you know, got that cast to them and the thing. Does that tell you anything? Does that mean they've been up for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it kind of depends on the water color too. A muddy water, you know, this time of year you don't have real intense light, so the colors aren't as vivid. But especially in the spring, you'll get fish that are colored real good. And then you get some that are bleached out white. To me, those are fish that have been out in deeper water, and they're just moving up.
Yeah. So they're right probably real close to a transition. They're probably, the water temperature is going to start dropping. They'll move out in the creek channel, so you're going to have fish a little deeper.
Yep.
I think that's a fair statement, isn't it?
I think and, you know, shallow water fishing is so much more fun to me.
Sure.
You know, you can fish quick, and they're active. And I'm still thinking we might have another... You know, maybe through next week. You know, did you see the forecast next week? They're saying maybe in the low 60s Friday.
Wow.
I haven't seen into the following weekend. But,
wow.
I mean, there's no reason for those fish to leave quite yet. Huh. And they're just following the shad. The shad are up there in that shallow water.
On the way down here today, I got to throw this in real quick because we've got to take a break. But I was passed by a D-84. It said on a license plate, and it was Trevin Reed. Went by me. I'm of course I'm an old man. I drive slow. I'm doing 67.
What's a D-84?
That's his D tag on the back.
Oh, dealer.
And phew, by, and I went and I wonder who that was. I was thinking about that time my cell phone. He said, "I just passed you." Him and Mr. Schaefer are going duck hunting this morning over by Emma, Missouri. And I hate to throw a bucket of cold water. They ain't gonna do no good.
Where
over
is
there.
Emma?
You don't want to know that. It's a white spot in the road that there's three people live there or something. No, Emma's a bunch of good people, but
it's very far from St. Joe.
It's on I-70 toward Columbia.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Emma.
Okay. Yeah, I know where
you surely know where. Everybody knows where. You ever had a Saturday night in Emma?
No, I haven't done that.
Oh, my. That is unbelievable. It, rabbits, possums show up.
Cool.
It's quite an ordeal, but... Anyway, but I got to tell the story real quick. I know we're going to run up against it, but I was in waiting for Trevin to come into the showroom the other day, and I had to have some papers notarized, and I got a notary in the back, of course. And I get to talking to a gentleman in there, and he was having oil change, which is the free. He'd bought a Silverado pickup there, and he gets the free oil change with it.
Right.
So I get to talking to the guy, and I said, "What do you think of this place?" And he said, because he don't know me from Adam, and he said, "These are the nicest people I've ever dealt with in my life."
Oh, awesome. Well, it's true.
And I thought, wow, what a breath. He said, "I tell you, they just bend over backwards here to help you here in this place."
And that was an unsolicited.
Yes. And I
testimony.
Thought, well, you know, how do you buy press like that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guy just told it the way it was. And he was just kind of glowing about it, in fact, you know. Not only did he get a great deal, he got free oil change for it, and he got a candy bar. I saw him get him a candy bar, you know. And I wanted that candy bar so bad.
Well, you need to get your oil changed.
Well, yeah,
that cost you anything.
Yeah, I will. But I tell you, what a breath of fresh air to do business with class people like that. I like going in there because I like being around successful people. And their sales staff are the most successful people I've ever was around. And they're the positive, upbeat, they giggle, they laugh, they have fun doing their job. And if you're in the market, if anybody's listening today, thinking about a Silverado or a Chevrolet product, Reed Chevrolet, St. Joseph, Missouri, number one dealer in Northwest Missouri. Got a huge inventory. So I might get a new one next week.
You haven't had that one very long?
About a year. Ashtrays full. Cigar butts. I tell you, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Little Led Zeppelin.
Let's just play that for the rest of the...
Yeah. I like. That's up our alley.
Yeah. That's our time frame in life, wasn't it? Led Zeppelin?
Yeah. Yep.
What's the one? Uma Guma? Is that the one in Led Zeppelin? Wasn't that one of the songs? Anybody remember that? Something like that.
Can you hum a few bars?
Yeah. Something like that. And I suppose there's one of these listeners out here who understand what I'm talking about, but I doubt it. Got some news. Got some news, kind of breaking news. This is in its infancy, so it might come and it might not. So Squaw Creek, of course, I have more water in my bathtub than Squaw Creek has on the refuge, and it's not because of lack of effort of the management of Squaw Creek. Lindsay has done a wonderful job and all their staff up there, but it's just, it's the driest it's been since 1951.
Wow.
So they flood Squaw Creek, as we've talked here on the air over the years. They've got a lock system that they put down on Davis Creek, which runs on the east side of Squaw Creek. They have Squaw Creek. It runs basically on the west side of Squaw Creek, and they have a lock, and they put it down back in August. Hmm. That generally you would catch a rain or two or three, and you'd fill up all the pools, you know. Well, this year there is no rain and there is no moisture. And like I said earlier, I've got more water in my bathtub than basically what they got on Squaw Creek. And it's not because of lack of effort. It's Mother Nature. So we several of us, and Jerry Erdling, Marty Cunningham, Lindsay, that's just the kind of the ground core, the DU Missouri people, are going to try to do a fundraiser, and I hope I can help out through this radio show, and I hope some guys can find it in their heart to maybe issue a little bit of money out of their pocket. Trying to put in and want to, we discussed it yesterday amongst Marty and Jerry in regards to a 24-inch pump, which will produce a 3,250 gallon a minute. Run it off natural gas, but you kind of put it on the west side over there because that's where the natural gas main. And the biggest pool is called Pelican Pool, and I'm going off gray matter, which was destroyed in the 60s, but I think that's 1,850 acres of millet over there on that side. So, and they're trying to fill it as we speak, but it's so dry that, you know, they in some windy days, they lose more than they gain. That's how dry it is. So anyway, we're going to, the good people from DU, we're going to meet, I think, Wednesday. I doubt if I can make it, but the guys and the gals are going to meet on Wednesday, I think it is, of next week. And we'll get all the particulars on this thing. They're going to raise some money and some revenue to help flood that federal wildlife refuge up there. And, of course, everybody gets growly and says, why don't the government do this and do that? Well, things are changing in the government, whether you like them or not. And so they're going to have to... you're not going to get the money as readily as you used to, is what I should say, I guess. So if they are going to do this, and I'm all for it 110%, I'd like to have two pumps on it, but that's beside the point. Maybe we can do another one down the road on this thing if this one ever gets off the ground. But we'll have some additional information probably sometime next Saturday on this, whether it's got any inkling to it at all. But the people from Northwest Missouri, God love them, that's where I was raised, and they're good Christian people. But, you know, they don't understand, a lot of them don't understand the impact that Squaw Creek has on the county up there, in Holt County especially. It kept all the revenues up for tax evaluation. You know, ground used to be worth $400 an acre, now it's worth $8,000 an acre because of duck hunters. And so the tax revenue goes up alongside of that, you know. And this refuge is so important to the economy, the motel rooms, the restaurants, the employment of people up there. So with this thing, the weather patterns is what they are. You know, things are changing, whether we like it or not, and sometimes not for the good. That's why they set duck season back this year, a week. So, and which was a very good program. I'm glad they did that. But anyway, there's a possibility. We're going to start the ball rolling. They've already started. Lindsay is basically in DU, Missouri, have started the ball rolling on this thing. Now, whether we can get momentum, we can get some funding where we can do some stuff, it's going to be more and more. You can rely less and less on the government, and you're going to have to rely on federal leadership or state leadership, people leadership versus federal government leadership. So maybe there'll be some money put in this thing, and maybe this will get up off the ground. I hope so.
So, I mean, right now there's just not very much water up there. So are the birds still there? Are they not holding because there's not enough water?
It had 17 degrees the other morning and 2 inches of ice, or 2 inches of water across a lot of the reservoir. And so that froze as solid as an ice cube, of course, at 17. So a lot of the ducks, there was a, I don't know what the count was exactly, but we lost about 30,000 ducks over that freeze period on the deal. But the weirdest thing about it is the Soto Bend up there had 72,000 ducks. They still holding 60,000 ducks up there.
They have some open water. They got water there?
Yeah, they're a little different setup than what we've got around it for a federal wildlife refuge. And interesting. It's been the strangest, weirdest migration in my lifetime. I have gotten calls from people from Stuttgart, Arkansas. I have gotten calls from people in Sioux City, Iowa. And it always starts with the same conversation. Where are the ducks? I think the duck hatch, they showed mallards down 11%. Mm-hmm. In my humble opinion, is that I think it was down more like 25%.
Wow.
I see ducks that you hit with a duck call. Of course, I use that. I call it my flaring tool, not my duck call. But you hit them with the call, and they go ballistic, go the other way.
So they're educated, older ducks.
Older ducks. And so the older ducks, been seen the mojo and all that stuff, we're pretty well shut all the mojos off. You know, it's just not good right now. And they see that flash, and they go, oh, hunter, guys, oh, get out of here, go shoot, you know. So they turn around and get out of there. But we still got some good duck numbers north. It's still going to be good. We're going to get this warm sector in here. The ducks that jumped out on the Missouri River, which is the sandbars, basically up around Rockport, Tarkio, I understand, is black with mallards. South of Four City, Missouri, is an awful lot of mallards down through there, down toward Amazonia, Missouri, down toward St. Joe's, a lot of mallards around. Not too many, but a few. But we're still pretty optimistic about the rest of the season. But it has been. We started off, Mark, with 2 weeks.
I know it was spectacular. As good as you've ever had.
As good as we'd ever had. Couldn't touch your gun barrel. Very, very, very good on this thing. So, we got to take a break. We're brought to you by KingCityLumber.com. Who we got on here as a guest?
We're going to have Kyle Mason from, he's got a company called Deer Cows. Deer Cows and Fish Cows. He can take pictures of your trophies and turn it into a bumper sticker or a window sticker.
Cool. Got to have one of those.
Yeah. Great gift for Christmas.
Boy, that sounds cool. Yeah. I was looking at some of them on his webpage. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool.
We're brought to you by King City Lumber. KingCityLumber.com. They built my building. They built all my friends' buildings. I've had, off this radio show, I've had three different people tell me they've ordered buildings from them. I've been in their buildings now for the last 30 years, 25 years. They look just like the day they built them. If you need a shed for your combine, your tractor, for storage, for a garage out back, whatever you want, these are the people. They're master carpenters. They're professionals. They build them right the first time, and they use first-class lumber for number one grade lumber. So these are Marty and Monty Tunks, the greatest people in America. And if you want something like that built on your farm, in your backyard, or wherever you are present, You can get a hold of them at kingcitylumber.com. You're going to spend a little time on their website. It's that good. kingcitylumber.com. They are the best. They're master carpenters, and you're going to love them. We got to take a little break, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we have Kyle Mason. Ought to make a good show. Put your feet up, grab you a second cup of coffee, and we'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. By the magic of the phone, we have Kyle Mason. Kyle, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are y'all doing this morning?
We're doing great.
It'd be better if I was out there fishing right now, but...
Yeah, exactly. They're up in a tree stand or something, right?
Yeah, well, anywhere but here.
There you go.
Kyle Mason, you have a company. It's called Deer Cows. And I saw this and I thought, this is the coolest thing. We got to get you on the air and talk about this because I think this would make a great gift, especially coming here around the holidays. Okay, tell our listeners, what is Deer Cows?
All right. So basically what we do is we take your picture with your trophy buck or turkey or fish or we've done rams, moose. You know, everything, any trophy animal that you're real proud of and would like to get turned into a decal, we can take that image and we basically alter it through the computer and make a custom cut vinyl decal that will go on really any smooth flat surface like window, the back of a laptop, anything like that.
Wow.
And you can show off your buck instead of just having like the Browning logo or the Bone Collector logo on the back of your truck. You can actually have your deer on your vehicle.
That is so cool. And it's personalized. And I mean, what a great gift idea. If not just a gift, but what a great way to display your trophy.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you need to make a decal? I mean, just a snapshot? I mean, can you email a picture, a flash drive?
Yeah.
What forms of
just a snapshot is great. What I would caution people on is the better quality image we have to work with, the better it's going to turn out for you.
Sure.
We can do pictures of just the animal. We can Photoshop out the hunter if they don't want to be in it. So some people like just the deer's head with the rack in there. Some people like them in the picture as well, which kind of makes it really unique. And like people that haven't seen them before, it really kind of shocks them when they get this. It's like, how in the world did you do that? just email them to deercows@gmail.com. And there's links to all that on our website, which is deercows.com.
Wow.
Just depending on our, turnaround time is usually 1 to 2 weeks.
Wow.
We're all hands on deck right now. So if they get them ordered by next Friday, then we'll have them for sure by Christmas.
Well, wow. That's cool. Now, let's say you're not real computer savvy. Can they send you just a snapshot?
Yeah. You can even text them to me. If you wanted to mail them to me, you could do it that way. We haven't had anybody do it yet. Standard mail would work. The turnaround time would be a little bit longer because we'd have to scan it in, and everything here. Versus, having an email of the picture. But, yeah, if we can get the picture, we can turn it into a decal.
Is there any do's and don'ts as far as when people are taking a picture of their trophy? Is there a...
That's a really good question. The best thing you can do is the ones that turn out the best, like if you go to our website and click on the Deer Cows link, you can see some examples. If you hold the deer without you directly behind it, it really shows off the antlers a lot better. Trying to edit out all the camouflage and everything, it just shows off your deer antlers better. Don't send me a picture that's taken from 400 yards away. If you can be, the closer it is, the higher definition, the better it'll turn out. And where you really notice a lot more details is like in the face of the hunter, on the higher definition images.
Are the decals, do they just come in one color or how does that work?
No, we got just about any color you can imagine. We do mostly what we have people order are white, black, or silver, and all of those colors look really good. If you're going to be putting it on a truck window, you're going to want a lighter color, like the white or the silver look really good. But we've done them in red, green, orange. Basically, if the people want it, we can get it. And if it's not listed on the website, just shoot me over an email, and I can get basically any color you want done for you.
That's cool.
Oh, it's just an awesome idea. And you need to go. What's your website? People need you. You have some samples of your work on the website, don't you?
Yes, sir. It is Deer Cows, and that's spelled D-E-E-R, like deer, and then C-A-L-S, So it's kind of like a play on the word decals, but it's deercals.com.
How in the world did you come up with an idea like this?
Well, I was my brother owns a custom holster company, Muddy River Tactical, and he gives away a free decal with every pistol holster that he sells. Well, he needed somebody to make his decals, and I was looking for something to do. And you can ask my wife, if I'm not out deer hunting, I'm thinking about it. And I was sitting there, you know, making decals for him. I was like, man, I'd like to do something, you know, hunting related. And, you know, just started looking at some of these bigger deer that I'd shot. And like, oh, I'd like to have him on my truck. And basically over the last year, we've really perfected the process of getting it done. And, like, that's the thing. Once people hear about it, they're like, I can't believe nobody's doing this yet. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things, you know, divine intervention just comes to you.
Yeah.
Now, what about you? Do fish also?
Yeah, I can do fish. I don't know if they're on my website right now. I can send people pictures of some of the ones we've done. We've done a couple of great big carp. We've got friends in the UK that are, they're big into carp fishing over there, and I've done a couple carp for them. The fish I haven't pushed as much, but we can easily do them just as easy as any deer.
Well, same question on them. Is there a better pose for fish? I mean, I would think that the fish could kind of get lost in a person's silhouette.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would hold the fish, you know, kind of out to the side, away from your body. Would definitely make those show up a lot better. And you know, if it's like a, you know, really pretty crappie or bass or something with a lot of scales on it, you know, the better quality image, you know, super small details we kind of edit out because they don't adhere to the window as well, but we can get, you know, a lot of detail into the picture. Just it all starts with the quality image we have to work with.
Kyle, could you help Mark here? His crappie are about 4 inches long, and automatically they're 2-pounders. Can you enlarge them a little bit for him?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you shoot a, you know, a 6-point buck and you want to make it a 16, I can do that for a slide up charge too.
Add some drop tines.
Oh, yeah. He'd be a world record by the time I get done with it.
Do you do any other types of stickers other than hunting or fishing related?
Yeah, absolutely. We make wall art. We do all sorts of custom wall art. We've made custom T-shirts. Basically anything out of vinyl, we make it.
What about like on the deer cow or the decal? What if, like, a mother for her soccer mom in her van, what about taking a picture of her kids?
Yeah.
Can you do a silhouette of
that'd
a
be
child
great.
Or a kid?
I can absolutely do that. I can do that. People that have lost pets, we can do those.
I was going to say dogs, cats.
I'm going to lose one tomorrow.
Yeah, any picture we can pretty much do. We've done you know, some memorial pieces for people before. There's a family that lost a young man. He was only 20 years old, and the last picture of him with his last buck he shot, they had me make a bunch of them, and their whole family's got
you know,
a memorial piece on the back of their vehicle to him. Wow. That was pretty cool to do, and we worked a bunch with, like, handicapped, like the Physically Challenged Bow Hunters of America. They take physically challenged people out bow hunting, and, like, NEO Outdoors, they take kids and disabled people hunting, so we do a lot of their giveaway raffles for them as well.
Have you ever had anybody come to you with a naked woman picture and want to sell it?
I knew you was going there. I knew it.
No, I have not, but, you know, if you want to email me something, I might be able to get you one.
I knew it'd go there. I knew it.
You'd come to that, right?
I'd like to get a picture of this dog I've got. His Baxter. He's the ugliest dog in America because if he performs like he did yesterday, he'll be the last day on Earth. I've had it with this dog. He's a terrible twos, and he's just going to do what he wants to do at any given time, and I just about pulled my hair out yesterday with this stupid dog, but boy, he come close to meeting his maker real quick on the deal. So I bet you do a lot of dogs, don't you, with people hunting dogs and things?
No, we actually haven't yet.
Wow.
A lot of that's just been because we haven't tried to push it yet. I've wanted to get really good at what we're doing before I really tried to start expanding, but we're at the point now where we've got it just about perfected, and you know, the ones we make now compared to what we've made, you know, the day one are night and day difference.
So you do like to hunt. You're talking about being in the deer stand. Do you hunt and fish or just hunt?
Yeah, I hunt and fish. Mainly I crappie fish more than anything when they're up on the bank. I get a little ADHD when it comes to fishing. So if they're not biting, I start, you know, thinking about what food plot I want to put in or where I'm going to move it to the end.
Where do you live at? Where are you from?
I'm in Smithville. I grew up in North Kansas City, and I live in Smithville right now, so we're getting close to the lake here.
Yeah, too bad. I'm sorry.
Well, I want our listeners to become more familiar with who Kyle Mason is from Deer Cow, so I want to find out whether or not you're a redneck hunter.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. As the biggest deer that you ever shot, was it out of your yard?
Negative.
Negative. Okay, well, that's good. Uh-huh. Do people refer to your carport as the butcher shop?
Well, they have before, yes.
Okay, you might be a redneck. Does everything in your refrigerator smell like deer meat?
Well, the garage refrigerator does, because my wife won't let me keep it in the house.
Did you go hunting on your wedding day?
Unfortunately not.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Have you ever made your own beef jerky?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're heading down that path. Sounds like you might be a redneck hunter.
Yeah, I don't think there's help for me at this point in time.
Is the most used kitchen utensil a bone saw?
Yeah, during November.
Have you, is your TV ever been set on the Outdoor Channel for 5 years or more?
Yeah, I do believe so.
Okay, well, last one. Have you ever hit a deer with your truck? Deliberately.
Oh, no, not deliberately.
Sounds like you still might be a redneck.
What the heck? You'll qualify as a listener.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, what's the deadline if you want Christmas presents for this?
For sure by next Friday, I can get them done to you. You know, anything we get in after that, we're going to, you know, bust our butt trying to get them out as quick as we can.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for sure, if they get them ordered by next Friday, that'll give me a few days to really hammer them out. And then, you know, get them mailed out to you.
What's the charge on these?
They start at $20 for a 6-inch decal, and then they go up to $35 for a 12-inch decal.
You're in luck, Kevin.
That's in luck.
There's no setup fees. There's no nothing. All you're paying is the $20 plus, I think it's $350 to ship it to you.
That's cheap.
You have a real nice, unique gift for somebody for $20. And, you know, I think we all spend more than that going to McDonald's. So.
Sure.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, there's nothing cheap.
What kind of deer season did you have, Kyle?
It was really slow. We got a farm down in southern Missouri, and opening weekend we saw quite a few during rifle season. And other than that, it was a real slow week down there. Archery, I passed on a bunch of smaller bucks this year and just never saw anything, you know, that I was after. So it was pretty slow for me. I ended up tagging a 8-point buck during rifle season. So
yeah.
Got meat in the freezer and can't complain about that. So
do you like to eat deer meat?
Oh, I love it.
What's your favorite way to cook it?
We'd like to take the tenderloins out of the deer, and Jack Daniels actually makes a teriyaki marinade.
Ooh.
And we will soak them for a day in that teriyaki marinade bag that they have. And then I like to grill them in just to about 135, 140 degrees. And they are just the most tender meat you've ever had.
Do you slice that into medallions first?
No, I do. I cook it whole and then slice in the medallions after.
Oh, okay. Now that sounds pretty good.
That sounds strange enough. That Jack Daniels part caught my ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That teriyaki marinade on that tenderloin, something just works with it. And yeah, that's probably my favorite way to eat it.
I don't think I've seen that before. Where do you get that?
We usually buy it at Walmart. It's right over by all the barbecue sauce and all that.
You get everything at Walmart.
Yeah, true.
You get your hair done at Walmart. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Hang out at Walmart. They're the happiest people in the world in Walmart. You know.
I was looking at your Facebook page, and along with Deer Cows, you have Tactical Tree Stands on there.
Yep.
What is Tactical Tree Stands?
Tactical Tree Stand, when I was originally starting making decals and stuff, I had the idea of making some tree stands. And I started researching liability, and to be a small guy trying to make tree stands and not get sued out of existence wasn't going to work. I actually came up with a product, and it works really well. It's just I never advertised it as much as I should have. It's called the Strap Sherpa, and it's a piece of plastic, essentially, with a loop in it. And you can put your tree stand strap in it, and instead of trying to toss your strap around the tree, which never works, or it gets caught on a limb or a vine, you pass it piece of plastic around the rear of the tree, and it pulls your strap right to you, and it makes hanging stands just go lightning quick.
Yeah.
Well, that's a heck of an
idea.
And
that's a hard thing, you know, get that strap around there. You're forever up there trying to get that strap. You kind of throw it around your tree, and you miss it, and you miss it, and you miss it, and you're about to give up, and then you're leaving all this sweat and stink around there, you know, by working on it that hard, you know. That's a cool deal.
Yeah, we sold a few of them, and I started making decals more, and, you know, it's something, you know, I may keep pursuing in the future. Mm-hmm. But, you know, right now I'm holding on to tactical tree stand in case I ever want to do more in that. I got a couple guys that actually pro staff for me on tactical tree stand and deer cows both. They're good kids, and they're starting their own deal right now, trying to get their own show going. So
yeah,
they're a tactical approach outdoors.
Cool.
So Austin and Coda Stone, they're a couple good guys, so check them out too.
Now, these decals, and get them made, do I specify I want them to put them on my back window? Do I specify I want them on the side of my pickup? Does it make any difference to you at all?
Yeah, it makes no difference to me. Our vinyl is all 6-year rated vinyl, so it's guaranteed not to fade for 6 years.
Wow.
It's really the best stuff on the market. What I would say is if you're wanting to put it on your wall and you're thinking you may want to move it, just email me and let me know. Mm-hmm. And I'll cut it out of a different vinyl that's not quite as adhesive. That way, if you move it, it won't leave a big mark on your wall where it was.
Hmm. Now, also, if you put it on the side of your pickup truck, you got to pre-clean, got to have this thing. As rednecks, our trucks never get washed.
You know? Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the best thing to do is get it good and clean and then take some rubbing alcohol and just clean off the area that you want to apply it to. Then let it dry completely. Then the main thing is just putting it on in one nice, smooth motion and start from the middle and work your way towards the outside is the easiest way to do it. And just kind of gradually remove the air bubbles as you're applying it.
Wow, cool.
And the more details you have on your decal, you know, you just got to be real careful, you know, peeling them off because they'll try and peel off some of those decals, especially if your window or side of your truck's not as clean as it could be.
Can you get different size decals?
Yeah, we currently will cut anything up to 12 by 24 inches.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, cool. So if you got a picture that you wanted huge, you know, it's just going to be how your image is laid out, and we can scale it bigger upon request. Right now, we offer up to 12 inches, but, you know, anything that people want, if they email me, I can work out a deal with them and figure out how to cut it. Boat letters, you know, if you want, you know, the back of your boat to have a name or whatever. Anything vinyl decal you want, we can make it.
I should do that with my boat numbers. I never do get them on there straight.
Back of my boat is Cirrhosis of the River.
Yeah.
Well, very cool. Ladies and gentlemen, get this guy's web address, whether you have a picture of a trophy animal, a picture of a fish, picture of a dog, picture of a cat, picture of your kids, whatever you can. He can make a silhouette of that and make a sticker for your window of your car or your truck. Again, how can people get a hold of you, Kyle?
Yeah, our webpage is www.deercows.com. Or if they want to go to our store directly, they can go to deercows.etsy.com. But there's a link for all that on our website. That's really the best way to get a hold of us. You can email me at deercows@gmail.com. But all of our contact information is on our website.
Is it okay to give out your telephone number in case someone wants to have additional questions? Is that all right?
Absolutely. My phone number is 816-813-5076.
That was good, Kyle, but could you do that a little slower?
Yeah, one more. 816?
813-5076.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, what a great gift idea. And get your order in by this Friday, and you'll have it before Christmas. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I tell you what, the outdoor world people, a lot of people don't understand this, how emotional it is for them. I mean, they work so hard to kill that quality white-tailed deer or to go hunting with your time being so significant or get your kids out in the great outdoors. I think this could be a huge deal, and I think it would be very emotional to some people.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And especially you start talking about the kids.
Yeah.
And what a great way to display those memories.
Yeah.
And what we've had a lot of is a lot of guys get them for their son or daughter's first deer. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a 160-inch deer.
Sure.
If a kid sees, you know, a doe that they shot on the back of their dad's truck, you know, they're just proud as can be.
Oh, great idea. I guess
great idea. It gives you goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know, and
hey, if you guys want to give a few away, I'd be more than happy to give a couple away to some of your listeners if they want to call in.
Hey, we only got these two listeners. We had three. I ran them off.
Well, there you go. We might be giving them away to everybody then.
Yeah, I only got these two left. We had three up until last Saturday, and I got on my soapbox and went nuts and got mad here on the air, which I never, ever do. But it was just
That would be awesome, Kyle. I tell you what, get a hold of us on our
Facebook
page. It's
perfect.
Sports Radio 810, or it's Midwest Outdoors. Sports Radio 810 WHB. Midwest Outdoors, Sports Radio 810 WHB. You get a hold of me, I'll be in touch with
you guys. Real quick, is if your listeners will use promo code Midwest Outdoors, all one word, when they place an order, I'll give them 20% off their decal.
What the heck?
Nice guy. You're a nice guy.
You are the man.
But there you go. Well, hey, I like to help out the local guys. You know, I'm from around here, and I know a lot of guys who hunt. So,
what's the promo code once again?
Midwest Outdoors, all one word.
Awesome. Well, Kyle,
that's the name of our radio show, Mark, in case you went by you real quick. It lumped him on the head. You know, we're doing this great interview with this guy. We're having fun, and we're entertaining these people. And then you got to bring up this nude thing with these women.
Now, what guy wouldn't want that on the back of their pickup truck that is not married?
Well, there you go.
There you go.
And Okay.
You're excused. Kyle, thank
awesome.
You. Hey, I'm going to call you here in a little bit. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, are you going deer hunting today?
No. Well, I might try and get out to the – I got a secret spot that's still got some standing soybeans, so if it stays cold this afternoon, I'm going to try and get out there.
Uh-oh. Could be a hammer down type deal.
Yeah. Yeah, go out there and get the bow after him. So see what we can't do.
I had a nice buck about hit my truck yesterday chasing a doe right across the road in front of me. Really,
that's good news. They should be coming back around for the ones that didn't take the first time should be in right about now.
Yeah,
so.
The rut's back on. This deer was swelled up, and he meant business. So
excellent.
But, hey.
Great idea, Kyle. That's Kyle Mason, Deer Cows. Good luck to you. That's just such a fantastic idea. Yeah. Just really wish the best to you, and I hope you have a great holiday season.
Excellent. Hey, same to you guys. Thanks for having me on. Right. And, yeah, if anybody's got any questions, have them give me a holler. And,
all right.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right, buddy.
Thank you,
thank
Kyle.
You.
We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much. That was awful nice to interview that guy. He did a good job, didn't he?
Yeah, he's great. What a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Just got an email from, or a text message from a good buddy of mine, Rod Clark. He's one of the best chefs in this town. He's up just north of, around the Smithville area. He said there's an inch and a half of ice and no ducks.
An inch and a half ice, it's terrible.
So he's sitting out in the radio.
It's the most bizarre migration I've ever seen in my life. Hope I never see another one like this.
So he's wondering what's wrong with him, but it's not him.
No, it ain't him. It's just weird. I've never seen anything like it. When you still got ducks, Stuttgart is, I mean, those guys are calling me. They have no water in the cache, and that's what they flow them to. There's nothing going on down there. Every third club's for sale, I understand. You know, they've just had it. You know, just really, really had it. Hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this day. What a good guest.
Yeah. Well, I just love that idea.
Yeah, I do too.
Especially taking some of the shots of your kids with whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what the hey, you know.
Make a sticker out of it.
Well, I'm going to the duck blind. I'll sit there and look at the blue sky, I hope, or gray, or whatever it is. Got to go for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. Thanks so much for listening. So long, everybody.